Stomach Capity is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063. The game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. So Ryan Tannehill returns to the scene of the crime on Sunday. Nissan Stadium versus the Bengals. And you all know what the crime is. The single most egregious performance in the history of the Tennessee Titans, overtaking Al Del Greco's 2000 Ravens performance in just terms of how bad that one performance was that cost the team everything. We all remember it. No need to rehash it. But not only is there no need to rehash it, the Titans are going out of their way to make sure that everybody knows that what happened last year in the same place with the same team has absolutely nothing to do at all with the team this year, again, playing the same team at the same place. Mike Vrabel today was asked about the playoff game last year against the Bengals, and Mike Vrabel quickly said, this is not a revenge game.
This is not a revenge game. More than half of our team didn't even play in that game. But I think trying to have some familiarity with who they are, have a lot of respect for them, obviously, in all three phases. So that might help, Jim. There may be some carryover. Sure, they're still going to try to get the ball to their elite skill players and whoever those may be based on availability. Defensively, they're going to make it tough for you. And, very, very good front and aggressive secondary.
Now, I don't think anybody's looking for revenge. In fact, I don't even know how much we talk about the Bengals. They played the Bengals. They lost to the Bengals. We didn't talk about the Bengals. We talked about Tannehill. And then after that, we talked about the Colts. And then about 3 weeks into the year, the Colts were no good anymore. So we stopped talking about the Colts. Then we started talking about the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens and maybe the Bengals in there with the Dolphins and everybody else they may play in the AFC playoffs. But it's not like, you know, that they need to calm this down and say, this is not a special game like Ohio State, Michigan. Duh. But the fact that Mike Vrabel felt the need to say, this is not a revenge game. And the fact that the team, just like we've seen in the past, is completely parroting Mike Vrabel. Jeffrey Simmons today said that Mike Vrabel in the team meeting had everybody who wasn't on the team last year when they played in the divisional round of the playoffs raise their hand and said that he was shocked at how many hands were in the air. And Ryan Tannehill went to the podium today, and he was asked about the revenge game factor, or whatever you want to call it. The makeup game is what it really should be, and not a revenge game. The makeup game factor for Tannehill. And Ryan Tannehill wanted no part of it.
Ryan, your coach says Sunday is not a revenge game. Are you of that mindset as well?
Yeah, no doubt. Just like I said, after Thursday night, you know, that was last year. Half this team, you know, wasn't even here. So this is a new team facing another new team. Obviously, a game we want to win, but it has nothing to do with last year.
So this reminds me of the Indianapolis game where Mike Vrabel got up at the podium and was like, I'm never going to be sorry about winning a game. And apparently, Derrick Henry on the field with CBS after the game vented some frustrations about how the Titans, you know, had to hang on to win. And then as soon as Vrabel was done talking at the podium and the media went in the locker room, everybody in the locker room, we're not going to be sorry about winning a game, which means that Vrabel said, we're not going to be sorry about winning a game, and you're not going to apologize to anybody. Understood. And everybody in there put their salutes up and they said, sir, yes, sir. And all of a sudden, they went in that direction, which means Mike Vrabel trotted out today for the team meeting to get ready for the Bengals, and he said, this is not a revenge game. We're not going to talk about last year. We're not going to think about last year. We're not even going to sniff the air, the oxygen of last year, because we are so not doing this. It's nothing about last year. And my mind goes to this. That's about one guy. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, they lost the game because of one guy.
Okay. So why is Vrabel doing all of this? Why is his whole team meeting and his whole team mantra about protecting the feelings of the one guy? What that was, what Vrabel's, the, you know, this ain't a revenge game, which, you know, Jim Wyatt's question was not, you know, is this a big revenge game? It was something about the playoff game. I can't make out what Jim said, But it was Vrabel saying, you know, this is not a revenge game. And then everybody else parroting that. He wanted to say that today. Why? Like, why did he want to say that for Tannehill's sake? Why did he want to make that about this, about how, you know, half the team wasn't here last year that was in that game? I know who was on the team last year in that one game. The one guy that you're doing all this for. Why?
Well, I think it could be a few things. One, when Vrabel and Tannehill both addressed the Bengals game in May, earlier this spring, it was, we're moving on. That was last year. And calling this a revenge game is not leaving that game in 2021. Technically, it was 2022, but you know what I mean. That would not be leaving that game in last year. That
do you think they've really moved on?
These feelings.
Do you think they've really moved on? Do you think Tannehill has moved on?
Yeah.
Remember Tannehill, Ian, if we could, in May of this year, when he finally decided to speak to the media after he didn't take the blame after the Bengals game, got up in front of the media and was like, I never thought that we'd be talking about this. We thought we were going to go down there and win the game. And it's like, well, guess what, bub? You didn't. And then he went freaking radio silent and left everybody in the organization to do the, nobody feels worse about this game than Tannehill does. And then finally, when he emerged out of hibernation in May of this year, Tannehill told us how much the Bengals game affected him.
Brian, how much does the playoff loss still linger with you and bother you? And do you, I guess, listen to any of the things that are said, you know, in terms of people wanting to put the blame on you for that loss?
It's a scar. It's a deep scar. You know, it was a lot of sleepless nights. Every time I closed my eyes, I was rewatching the game in my head. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep for weeks and weeks after the game. Was in a dark place, and it took me a while and a lot of work to get out of it. You know, it wasn't something that went away easily. Man, it's still a scar that I'll carry with me, you know, throughout the rest of my life, you know. But just like a cut on your arm, you know, starts off as a wound, you're able to heal from it, and it turns into a scar. It never leaves you, but it's always there, and it can remind you. And now it's fuel for me. It's fuel for me to work and get ready with a passion and come into the season with a fire and, you know, a desire to win like I've never had before.
Doesn't sound to me like he was leaving it last year.
But don't you think there's a certain element of forgive and don't forget? Of, okay, forgive yourself for what you did. Don't stew in what you did last year. Don't constantly think about, wow, I was the reason why my team didn't compete for a Super Bowl. Forgive yourself, move on from it, but use that as fuel moving forward.
I think that is Mike Vrabel's theory here, which is instead of, and some of these coaches, they'll do whatever it takes to motivate the players. If they think that telling somebody like, I watched the Football Life documentary on Thurman Thomas, and Will Wolford, an offensive lineman for the Bills, said that he would go to Thurman Thomas and be like, yeah, hey, those guys on the Dolphins, they were saying that they don't worry about you. They're only worried about stopping Jim Kelly in the passing game, and that Thurman Thomas would get mad, and then Thurman Thomas would play better. And so they would do that like every week to Thurman Thomas because they knew that made Thurman Thomas a better player. So I think Vrabel looks at it like, if I get up there right now and make this about the revenge game, nobody thinks this is a revenge game. There's no revenge to be had against the Bengals. They beat you in
the playoff
game.
The Bengals didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything. There's no rivalry between the Titans and the Bengals. Nobody said anything. It's not like Joe Burrow grabbed his crotch on the way out of the stadium. They didn't jump on the logo. There's none of that. And yet Vrabel knew, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to talk about how half the guys on our team weren't here. And I'm going to do this for the entire team because it does not motivate Tannehill to rub his face in it. That it is more important for us to ignore it and pretend like it didn't happen and pretend like it doesn't matter because Tannehill plays better when he is not thinking about that. And if he is thinking, I think Vrabel's afraid of Tannehill getting PTSD out there on the field on Sunday. Bengal PTSD.
Which is a really difficult line to walk of, you want them to be fired up, but you also don't want to put so much pressure on Ryan Tannehill because we've seen how that's shaken out in the past when Ryan Tannehill is under a lot of pressure.
Cracks.
cracks. I mean, you could tell in that Bengals game, from the very first snap, he looked like he was so spooked out there. So I don't.
And then what happened on the first snap is probably what led him into the tunnel of crap.
Of just, yeah, just rolling down this hill of just stress and anxiety and pressure.
So do we think, let's agree on this. Do we think that this is Vrabel's way of keeping Tannehill's mind away from last year's Bengals game? Not the team, not me, not you, but Tannehill.
Probably a little bit. Yep.
Do we think that Mike Vrabel's going to this charade of, this is not a revenge game, when nobody is saying that it was? Do we think that that
is... Well, there's a reason why he said that.
It's all for one guy, right?
Well, there was one guy who lost that game.
It's all for one guy.
But that's the most important guy.
Do we think that they need that?
You tell me. How much did Tannehill crack under pressure last time?
I mean, he cracked.
And he said he's been carrying this with him. I think Mike Vrabel is trying to get ahead of it and say, hey, this is has nothing to do with last year. I know that you carry that scar with you, but this has nothing to do with last year. This is not a revenge game.
I think Vrabel was that whole thing, that whole spiel about half the team, and I think he effectively did this. That was the way to keep anybody from asking him any more questions about last year's Bengals game. Half our team's not even the same anymore. And so then the next question about that would basically be the same answer. And that's exactly, Tannehill went right there. I mean, TD asked a question about his mindset, because Tannehill opened the door to how much that Bengals game hurt him by telling people that, which
I appreciate
honesty, but he opened that door. Well, now TD, I think, you know, goes in there and, you know, well, what about that door? And it's like, nope, we're not going there. And so I think that it's all to protect Tannehill. And honestly, I do want to see. I've got a thought on this about what I want to see specifically on Sunday about Tannehill. It's not like, I want to see three touchdowns and I want to see, but it's one thing in particular. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 here on the program, and we will get to your phones. 615-737-1025. Hey, Edley's Barbecue. Who's going to the game Sunday? I'm going to the game Sunday. If you're tailgating Sunday, or if you're having people over for the game, or if you're having people over for a game on Saturday, or whatever it may be, you got to get with my friends at Edley's Barbecue. Hand off the tailgating prep to Edley's Barbecue, where you can get your smoked wings in easy 25 and 50 count platters. You can easily take the smoked pulled pork, brisket, turkey, and scratch-made sides family style. And Edley's is perfect. That's right, for game day at home or at the stadium. So call your neighborhood Edley's, which, by the way, we got a new Nolensville location for Edley's Barbecue. Congratulations to our friends at Edley's. Once again, another wonderful location. We love Edley's Barbecue. Edley's Barbecue is fantastic. We had my dad's birthday party. We catered from Edley's because it's so darn good. You should do the same for all your events, because the Edley's has won Nashville's Best Barbecue 4 years in a row. That's Edley's Barbecue. It's a winning pick. I love Edley's Barbecue. Edley's Barbecue online, edleysbbq.com.
This game isn't a revenge game, but for you, just from a mental recovery standpoint, how has the year gone? Like, do you notice anything different? Did you learn anything new about yourself, you know, going from that point to where you are now?
I don't know exactly what you're looking for there, but yeah, I mean, every year is a learning experience. You're learning the guys around you. You're learning the nuances of how things are going throughout the year. And so, you know, each and every year is a little bit different. There's a little bit different mental side to it. And yeah, I think, you know, myself and everyone included has grown mentally, you know, throughout the challenges of this year.
He wasn't asking you about that, Ryan. You know that. I know that. He knows that. Caroline knows that. That wasn't what he was asking you about. That would be like asking,
I don't like
Tom
that
Brady.
Response.
Oh, I mean, you know,
me.
It was a total deflection, and it wasn't even a good deflection. It was like a John Robinson deflection.
Well, I mean, beyond the deflection, I mean, just kind of dismissing the question, like, I don't really know what you're getting at there.
Yes, you do.
Like, you don't have to be mean, Ryan.
He knows what he's getting at. The problem is TD asked it too nicely.
Don't put that on TD.
TD's trying to get Ryan Tannehill to talk about, you know, mentally growing from the Bengals game, which is a fair question. Well, you know, so TD, you know, wants to say it in a nice way that can get Tannehill to actually answer it, not clam up. And Tannehill's like, I don't know what you're getting at. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do, because you are the one who talked about it.
Yes, you do. So one thing I do wonder about, and I wonder if Vrabel's worried about this. You think Vrabel's worried about Tannehill getting PTSD on the field on Sunday?
Yes.
I do, too. I'm not, honestly, I'm not worried about it for some reason.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I don't know if that's my own deflection of my own concerns for Ryan Tannehill.
I'm not worried about it.
I don't know why for some reason I am.
I mean, to me, it's a regular season game, and, you know, if they get beat by the Bengals, we've talked about this, you know, what the seeding, you know, how much does it matter, how much
does it
matter?
But is that how Ryan Tannehill feels?
I mean, I think it's about just like, you know, is Tannehill going to go out there and see those orange helmets? And all of a sudden, he talked about how he was replaying the game at night. Clearly, this was a traumatic experience for Ryan Tannehill.
And I understand.
Honestly, it probably should have been. And so it was a traumatic experience. And so now you go right back to it. You know, like the conditions, it'll be a noon game instead of a 3 o'clock game. So it won't be dark outside at the end of the game, which will be the only difference. But other than that, it wouldn't surprise me, and I don't know what uniforms the Titans are wearing. It wouldn't surprise me if the Titans wear white on Sunday, just so Cincinnati has to wear a different uniform than they wore last year, you know, just so that Tannehill doesn't start having these flashbacks to that playoff game last season. And I do think that the reason why Vrabel's like, half the team is different. We have a different team. They have a different team. It's a different team, even though it's really not. I think that is because he's afraid of Tannehill going out there after Tannehill played great, maybe his best game in the last 2 years, played great on Thursday night against the Packers.
Had a great day.
By the way, did you notice that Tannehill still was asked about his ankle? Oh, it still hurts. Sure it does, Ryan.
I'm sure it does.
He answered that one directly.
Of course he did.
Oh, yeah, my ankle's still hurting, but I'm powering through it to 330 yards on Thursday night. But again, I do think how Vrabel handles Tannehill, which is what I'm watching with this week, is fascinating. Because Vrabel is a no-nonsense, no-BS guy. And all he ever does is talk about how tough Tannehill is. And here he is with, like, oven mitts around this regular season Bengals game. And just these oven mitts around Ryan Tannehill. And I just think it's just knowing Vrabel, it's so fascinating. It must be killing him. It must kill Vrabel to not be able to walk up there and talk in front of the team today about Cincinnati and be like, and remember what happened last year in the playoffs, and remember why that happened. Because if they had turned the ball over three times and had lost to Cincinnati, and let's say the three turnovers were, you know, a fumble by a receiver, a blocked
a team
punt,
effort,
and an interception, right? Where it's not one guy's fault, but it's everybody's fault. And he would have gone up there and been like, last year we turned the ball over three times, and that's why we lost. And instead, you know, this year he's like, whatever happened last year doesn't matter this time. I remember a couple years ago, they went to Buffalo when Buffalo stunk, and they fumbled the football like four times and lost the game. And the next year, they were getting ready to play Buffalo here. And I asked Vrabel about the fumbles against the Bills, and I was like, last year, you guys went up there, and Buffalo forced four fumbles. And he was like, they sure did. They're a great team at forcing fumbles. They are this. They are that. They are. And it was like that was clearly something that he was wanting to make a big deal about. Well, you know he doesn't want to make a big deal about this. And he doesn't want to make a big deal about this because he's got the oven mitts on when it comes to Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, again, I'm not saying that it's wrong.
Unless it's more than Tannehill.
It's just Tannehill. But it's,
I mean, I don't know how that loss affected other players on that team.
Nah, it's Tannehill. I know that nobody else was having flashbacks in the middle of the night like that, like Tannehill.
No, because nobody else threw three interceptions in that game.
I mean, one guy lost him the game. Everybody knows who it was. But I just find it so fascinating about how Vrabel is treating Tannehill with this. Like, it's so... I'm not saying it's wrong. I think Mike Vrabel's the best coach in the league. So if Mike Vrabel is the best coach in the league, then he probably is doing the right thing to come out and nip any talk about last year in the bud and, you know, half the team's different, move on or whatever. But I just think it's so fascinating. Like, that this is his approach with Tannehill in this game.
I think it's because it has to be.
He could be the other way.
Well, if it was the other way, don't you think he'd be approaching it that way?
Well, I told you that he could come out and he could say to Tannehill, you know, hey, he could put the pressure on Tannehill right now to try to see how he'll react to the pressure, knowing that come playoff time, that pressure will return. We talk about the PTSD of Tannehill getting out there against the Bengals and having, you know, that all of a sudden getting out there and seeing those orange helmets and then going from that cool, calm, you know, 330-yard Tannehill Thursday night to, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, Tannehill. Well, I mean, I think we all are scared to death that when they kick the ball off in January and they're hosting the Chargers or the Dolphins or the Patriots or whomever, that Tannehill's going to get out there in a playoff game, just like the playoff game last year, and Tannehill's going to be, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So I think, you know, and I don't know, you know, this may be bad. Vrabel knows Tannehill better than I do, but I was wondering if Vrabel was going to challenge Tannehill as like, hey, man, like, let's see how you react when we put this pressure on you, knowing that in 2 months, when that game is for real in the playoffs, that pressure that will be on you, there's nothing we can do about that pressure.
But of course there's been pressure on him all season long. But maybe Vrabel knows that additional pressure, that him being even harder on Tannehill, it could break him. Because Tannehill had, what, 6, 7, 8 months after that Bengals game to do whatever work he needed to do to get back and get confident and move on from that game. If he cracks under pressure against the Bengals this week, you don't have 8 months to recover.
What's going to happen on January 13th?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know.
So to sit there and say, like, you know, if he puts the pressure on Tannehill, then Tannehill could crack under the pressure. When they get to January 13th, and I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's Buffalo, who might be the best wild card team in the history of wild card teams, or if it's New England, who I would welcome with open arms in the first round of the playoffs this year. It doesn't matter who it is. All that pressure's coming back. All that talk is coming back, and there's nothing they can do about it. Tannehill can't go to the podium the week of the wild card round, and when he's asked about last year in the playoffs, say, well, half our team is different this year than they were last year. Uh-uh. Everybody's going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about it. Terry Bradshaw is going to be talking about it. Everybody is going to be talking about it. And so you know that that's coming because we all know the Titans are going to make the playoffs. So the other approach would be to put pressure on Tannehill to see how he'll react to that, knowing that the pressure will come to him. And Vrabel is taking the exact opposite approach, which is, you know, the kid gloves and the just the opinion of, well, you know what, it'll be fine, and it has nothing to do with this. And he's probably right. He's got the skins on the wall to where he's probably right. But like I said, I just find it so fascinating. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your phones on this. And I did promise phones last time, and then we got going on this Tannehill thing, so I apologize. 615-737-1025, but we're right to them next. Stillman and Company here on 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, by the way, tune in for the pregame show this Sunday, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join me, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans and the Bengals. The pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. And let's tell you about Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. It's a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last.
I think Ryan Tannehill's thrown the ball just like he did last night all year long. And, you know, listen, he's never going to put up Mahomes or Josh Allen those numbers because that's not how the team is built. But they're tough. They're extremely well coached. And you saw Green Bay had to make tremendous adjustments to play an offense where the quarterback is under the center most of the time and the running back is way back there. And there's not a lot of deception, but it still works.
Boy, Phil Sims, I'll tell you, he is tooting the Ryan Tannehill horn. And I hear that, and I get nervous. Because it's like Tannehill went out there and played his best game over the last 2 years against the Packers. And now the thing I've learned about Tannehill, and I love Tannehill, I do, even though I've got a very funny way of showing it. But I see the setup, and then I see the fall, and I'm like, oh, no. Don't want to get my hopes up with Tannehill. That's the one thing I've learned in my life. And I like Tannehill. I do. I like Tannehill's a good man. But I don't want to get my hopes up with Tannehill.
Is this about Tannehill now, or is this about Tannehill in a couple of months?
Well, I mean, deep down inside, the Titans have, according to New York Times, the Titans have a 96% chance to make it to win the division. They have a 98% chance to make it to the playoffs. Case in point, they're going to make it to the playoffs. They're going to host a game because they're going to win the division.
They're going to win the division, yes.
And so, you know, what's the difference between the first seed and the fourth seed? I don't know. Right now it's playing the Bills. But if you don't play the Bills, let's say you get the fourth seed. Let's say the playoffs end today. You get the fourth seed. Your first game is at home against the Buffalo Bills. If you're the first seed and Buffalo is the five seed, guess who your first game, if you've got the first seed, is probably going to be against?
Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills at home.
Yeah, good luck.
So what's the difference between the one seed, the two seed, the three seed? Who cares? You know, again, going to Miami for a divisional round playoff game, fine. But, I mean, I'm just kind of worried that everybody's going to get excited about Tannehill having one really good game against a team that stinks. And we can all agree the Packers stink. And now here come the Bengals. And then Tannehill's going to blow it. Or they're going to play the Cowboys on that Thursday night game, which I think is their last nationally televised game. And he's going to blow it. And then everybody's going to be right back out on Tannehill. Or even if Tannehill doesn't blow it and they end up in the playoffs, then Tannehill's going to blow it. And so I'm just preparing myself emotionally for all of that.
I don't think you're giving him enough credit. Because while he had his best game of the season by far last week, Tannehill hasn't had his game this year that I've looked at and said, wow, you know, really bad game, Ryan Tannehill. Wow.
Oh, I've been
Titans
on Tannehill's lost, defense.
Like, Titans lost that game because of Tannehill.
I have been, other than the missing the Chiefs game, which I'm still not happy about, I have been at the defense of Ryan Tannehill this season. And Ryan Tannehill has played good ball for the most part. Now, that interception he threw the other night, and he throws
it
about one
great.
Of those a game where he targets the other team's DB and doesn't see him, which is driving me crazy because that's what Marcus used to do. He did the same thing against Denver. They just didn't intercept it. But other than that, you know, but I have my feelings about Tannehill in the playoffs, and those probably aren't going to change until we get to the playoffs. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have?
Tyler texts in and says, a lot of us fans see this as a revenge game. I know I saw it on the schedule and have been waiting for this game. A lot of people I know feel the same way.
Really?
I guess so.
I don't think so.
I mean, fans can feel that way. Fans can be angry with the Cincinnati Bengals. Fans can look at the Bengals and say, you were the reason why we didn't get to the Super Bowl. But when it comes down to it, that's not the truth.
I'm not sure I've talked to one person about excitement of the Bengals game having anything to do with last season's playoff game as far as a showing them who's boss kind of moment.
In my opinion, I'm looking at the Eagles game more than anything to be a show them who's boss kind of moment.
Oh, now, you remember how we talk about how, like, if the Titans are playing the Texans, for instance, we cannot talk about, unless, like, the Texans fire the coach that day, mm-hmm. there's nothing we can talk about with the Texans. We cannot, even on Friday, we can't talk about, like, you know, is the Texans' offensive line going to be able to? We can't do it. The Texans and Jags and those teams are so bad and so uninteresting that we literally cannot talk about them. Now, every now and then there's a team, and that's why I'm bummed that the Cowboys game is, I believe, on a Thursday. And I believe Monday is the day that everybody gets off for Christmas because Christmas is on Sunday. And so we'll only have Tuesday and Wednesday to get ready for the Cowboy game. But if they were to play the Cowboys, we could talk about the Cowboys on Tuesday. when they play a playoff game, for instance, you know, that Monday after the game on Sunday, everybody will want to talk about the next game. And that's just how it is. This game, I mean, we can talk about the Bengals because of Tannehill's misgivings last year. But this game is not a – the Bengals are not a Tuesday team. You know, Joe Burrow, and I got a lot of respect for him, their coach, like that is a maybe Friday discussion. But next week, AJ will be a Tuesday through Friday discussion. On
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like there's no way around it. Unless somebody gets fired or something crazy happens, you know, whatever. Like AJ next week will be a Tuesday through Friday discussion. And the Bengals game just certainly does not register like that for me. Or and I, you know, when I talk about like how fans feel, I do feel like I've got a unique pulse on the Titans fans because literally every single person in my life is a Titans fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like for the most part, when I haven't talked to one person in my life who has talked about this game as anything special, then I can say unequivocally that this is not some kind of special game.
Because I just
Titans.
Don't think it is anything special it's beyond not. A talented AFC team.
It does not. What's next?
Tyler texts in and says, I don't think that Mike Vrabel wants to save Tannehill from anything. I think he doesn't want to make anything extra about a game. Next week he's going to say that they wish the best for AJ and they're focused on the Eagles team. It's just what Vrabel does in public.
So what Vrabel says next week about AJ will be very, very obvious and, to the texter's point, probably very easy to predict. But what AJ says will be the interesting part. Now, I think they're going to coach AJ up not to say anything next week, but I don't know that. And with Vrabel, the one thing about him is you never know. Like, you have to ask Vrabel the question because you never know what he's going to say. John Hines, I know what he's going to say. It's the same old, you know, says a lot of words, doesn't say anything kind of answer. Vrabel, you know, every now and then Vrabel takes cracks. Now, here's the thing is the best time, no one's going to do this. And he'll say, like, we just finished playing the Bengals. I haven't even thought about the Eagles yet. But the best time to ask Vrabel would be after the game about AJ. Because that's the best opportunity you have.
Emotions
Mike
are raw.
Vrabel. Oh.
After the game, asking about AJ the next week. Oh, he would hate that.
He would hate it.
Hate that.
Oh, he would hate it. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, I think if CJ Uzama was still on the team, I think there might be a little bit more to it because he did talk after the game. Plus, their fans are annoying. So, of course, a victory will be nice.
All CJ Uzama said was that the Titans were afraid and they knew it. And the Titans were afraid. Now, what CJ Uzama, I think, was alluding to that the Titans were afraid of is I think CJ Uzama, who's not even on the Bengals anymore, but I think he was alluding to the idea that they were afraid to give our offense the ball, which is not necessarily true. Let me tell you something. When the Bengals are kicking to the Titans with like 2 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in the game, I absolutely am like, I don't want to give Burrow the ball back in regulation. But I wasn't afraid of that. What I was afraid of was poopy pants at quarterback that had already thrown two interceptions, turning around and throwing the ball right to your team with a short field and setting up a field goal. And that's exactly what happened. And I do think the Titans were afraid of that, which is why they called run, run, even though Derrick Henry hadn't run well the whole game. They called run, run on first down and second down because they were really hopeful that Derrick Henry was A, going to keep the clock moving, and B, could bust off like a 25-yard run to get them on the edge of field goal range so that they could feel like, oh, wow, now we can open the playbook and throw something short here and maybe get into field goal range and try to get out of here unscathed. Like, they were hoping Derrick could save their bacon, and he couldn't because Cincinnati loaded the box because they weren't going to let Derrick beat them, and it's not CJ Uzama's fault that he was pretty much 90% right. And I did not take that personal at all because he was right. Now, again, what they were scared of is probably not what CJ Uzama thought they were scared of. But at this point, that would just be arguing semantics.
And, like, is that really what fans are hung up on?
Have we heard anybody talk about CJ Uzama since he said it?
No. I honestly forgot what he even said.
So, I mean, yeah, that's no. There's nothing special about the Bengals other than the fact that the Bengals are, like, I think an interesting team. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're really all that good, but they got a quarterback that I have a ton of respect for, a bunch of receivers. The Titans never seem to beat them or this loser coach, even if the Bengals are bad. But, I mean, boy, I tell you, CBS was lucky on Sunday that they had an interesting Bengals-Steeler game to go to. Because, you know, CBS, there's probably a handful of games all year that CBS is lined up for where they're like, this game is a big game for us. And, like, Bills-Chiefs is a huge game for CBS, obviously. And this one, you know, they set all kinds of ratings records this season with Packers and Cowboys because it's the Packers and it's the Cowboys and it's close and it goes to overtime. And so CBS gets Minnesota, who's 8-1 against Dallas, and they're sitting there like, oh, baby. Oh, Tony Romo, 3:30, Dallas, Minnesota's 8-1. And the fact that it was 37-7. I was watching the game on Sunday Ticket, the Steelers-Bengal game.
Uh-huh.
And so when Greg Gumbel just goes, Greg Gumbel, Adam Archuleta, AJ Ross, live here at Acushnet Stadium, where the Bengals lead the Steelers by the score of 20-17, here with 8:13 to go in the third quarter. I'm like, that is the keyword that they just cut that game out. And somebody said to Greg Gumbel, hey, they just sent the Cowboy audience over to you, so reset the game for everybody. And I was like, wow. And you know, CBS was like looking at the Vikings and Kirk Cousins just like,
seriously? Seriously, Kirk? We expected like, more from you.
Just screwing our ratings doubleheader. 615-737-1025. I did say that we don't talk much about the Texans, but John McClain. We got to read to you what John McClain wrote about the Texans. They got crushed by the Commanders. Just trust me on this. We wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't worth talking about. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. I love Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And they're giving away cash for the holidays. They are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. And Hiller wants to make sure that every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year. And they're donating $50 in Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. More deals are online at happyhiller.com. As always, Happy will be here. The service is free, and these deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. I do wonder who Hiller's rooting for on Saturday. I'll have to ask. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, call the Happy Face Truck today.
I'm going to start with Tennessee. Everybody wants to go on Rodgers, and we'll get to that. But let's start with Tennessee. I thought Tannehill played very well last night. They had some spirit. They had enthusiasm. Vrabel's a very good coach. They're helped by a bad division. Now, they get Jacksonville and Houston 4 games every year. So that does help them some. But, I mean, he's been competitive. He was competitive in Kansas City. Good win last night. They win. They make the playoffs every year. And, you know, he's a Hall of Fame running back. I mean, I don't know if they have enough weapons in a big game on the road in the month of January, but I tell you, they're dangerous, Phil, and Tannehill's played well. He had a good game last night. I was impressed with him.
There you go, Mad Dog Russo talking about the Titans, and I love how he had to say, you know, they play in a horrible division, which is absolutely true.
He's not wrong.
He is not wrong. They play in a horrible division. And that takes me to John McClain's Texan grades. The Texans played Washington in a pedestrian 23-10 loss on Sunday. And John McClain put out his grades. This is GallerySports.com, which is where John McClain works now. We love John McClain. He writes this, quote, "The Texans put up more of a fight during a Friday walkthrough at Houston Methodist Training Center than they did at NRG Stadium on Sunday when they lost to Washington 23-10. A first half which they trailed 20-0 may have been the worst in team history. They were a pathetic excuse for an NFL team." Whoa. Now, remember when the Titans played the Texans and I said that I remember the expansion Texans in 2002. And then I thought the team the Titans beat might be worse than the expansion Texans team. Here were John's grades. You ready for this?
Yep.
Grade for the Texans overall, F minus.
F minus? I didn't even know that was a real thing.
Quarterback, F minus.
All right.
Running back, F.
Not even a minus.
Or a plus. Wide receivers, D.
Improvement.
Tight ends, D.
F. Okay.
Offensive line, F minus. Yeah, hey, remember this Kenyon Green that we talked about the Titans maybe drafting in the first round?
Yes.
Quote, rookie guard Kenyon Green had a terrible game. He got crushed on the pass rush and committed too many penalties. Fortunately for him, John McClain writes, only one was called. He's going through a rough stretch against premier defensive tackles, and they're winning. The Commanders had 5 sacks by 3 linemen drafted in the first round and totally shut down the Texans' running game. F minus. Defensive line, C plus. Linebackers, C. Secondary, C plus. Special team, C. Coaching?
F minus.
F minus from John McClain. John McClain writes, Lovie Smith's defense allowed 1 touchdown and 3 field goals. Pep Hamilton's offense allowed 1 touchdown. The offense couldn't have been worse in the first half. It was an inexcusable performance. There is also no excuse for Smith, Hamilton, and the position coaches to put a product on the field that's so wretched. That's from John McClain.
Wretched.
So I remember when the Titans were bad and how miserable it is every day to do a show talking about that. And honestly, these Texan games, I mean, the Texans, 3 years ago, like, you know how everybody says Jimmy Garoppolo? They're like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl. That year, the Houston Texans were up 24-0 in a divisional playoff game. F minus.
F. I mean, life comes at you fast.
F minus.
And the best grade is a C plus.
F minus.
Oof.
That's not even a grade.
It's worse than a grade.
Eddie George is up next. Stillman and Company. We'll see y'all tomorrow, too.